And this year for Bo really came from, I did this, gave this year 4 years ago, Parsha Ekev. But I liked it, so I'm going to give it again. And this was before, that was pre-COVID, so it wasn't recorded. So this will be recorded now. And at the end of this week's Parsha, we have the mitzvah of tefillin.
So why did it work for Akiv?
Plus, the Akeb also has Shema, which has tefillin in it also.
Oh,
Right.
okay.
There are four parshiot that mention tefillin. Right? That's there are four. There are four parshiot that put in the tefillin, the ones that mention it. But we'll
In the
talk about
box,
in the
right?
little boxes, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So this week it actually comes up twice. The two paragraphs that mention tefillin. First one, second to last paragraph. It says, "Vayalach al yadcha." Be a sign on your hands, uzikaron be'enecha, and a memorial between your eyes, lamanti Hashem Torah tia Torah Hashem b'ficha, so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth. Ki bi'adcha zakah yotziach Hashem Mitzrayim, because God took you out with a powerful hand, as Rambam says, that Ramban says this will be a symbol so you remember the miracles. And the second paragraph, the last paragraph of our parsha. It says, it shall be a sign on your hand, and totafot between your eyes, because God took us out with a strong hand. And the
Oh,
question.
that's why it's on the hand. I never thought of
Okay,
that.
that's, I guess that's part of it. Well, and I mean, usually the ot, we'll talk about the ot al yadcha is not so much about the hand part, but it's placed close to the heart, is usually the way of looking at the symbolism there. But I want to look at this word totafot, right? It's going to be totafot between your eyes. What's a totafot?
Good question.
Okay, so the Targum on this just translates tefillin, right? It says, Teshvun yad pegame alein al libchon va'al nafshachon, and you will place these words on your heart and on your soul. That's not in the, that's not a literal translation there.
No.
Yatan, and you will tie it as a sign on your hand. And they should be tefillin between your eyes.
Oh, look who's here.
Hi, Davida. Oh, hi, Noah. Good morning.
Noah.
So we're talking about tefillin. Actually, where it should shum there. I should figure exactly where that is. Go grab that.
What's the root of the word tefillin? Like tefillah?
Right. Everyone
Okay.
assumes it's tefillah. There's an active. No, that's not it. There. And what's the patch? Try to find. Oh, it's Akev. That's what that is. Oh, sorry, I'm giving that away. I'm just going to edit this over here and we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so King James translates this totafot as a frontlet, right? Lay these words in your heart and your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand that they be as frontlets between your eyes. Okay, 11, that's 11.
Even the tying part is not in the literal.
Ukshartem, no, it says
Oh,
you can
it
tie it,
is, yeah.
yeah.
Ukshartim, yeah. Sorry. I won't distract you again, but that's the source of why, well, it's an asmachta, I
Yeah.
guess, that women can't write a mezuzah because of that
Because
link in Shema to fill in.
feel it. Okay.
Just
They
like they
have
can't
time.
write tefillin, they can't write a mezuzah.
I say, yeah, they're not right. And then why they shouldn't wear tefillin is a separate question as well. Why shouldn't they wear
Oh,
tefillin?
yeah.
Okay.
No,
I can't
not
say
talking
I've
about
got a
that.
good reason.
Uketav Tem is the one.
Okay. Okay. But that's the idea. So that's a frontlet. So they translate as frontlet. Okay, so tadafot means frontlet, which I will say is consistent. Do I mention the Gemara? No, the Gemara clearly uses it in this sense over here as use the word tadafot, talking about jewelry. It's a decorative thing that one wears on one's forehead. Okay, and
Between
then
the eyes, between in the middle.
between, right, in the middle of the forehead, right? That's the frontlet idea. It's decorative. I did not quote the Gemara here, but the Gemara clearly agrees with this literal meaning of Totafot. But where does it come from? Just, try to figure out what the word means. It only appears two other times. We have two times in our Parsha, then two times in Devarim. Again, these are the parts that we write in the Tefillin. Totafot. Again, same expression. And Akiv is where it expands it out sort of symbolically. You should put these words on your heart and your soul. You'll tie them as a sign on your arm. And it will be totafot in your eyes.
Foot.
Totafot. So the hint at the meaning of that is the fact the first source we have doesn't use the word totafot at all, uses the word zikaron. A memorial. So that's what Rashi says the word comes from. That the idea that totafot means a frontlet, a decorative thing between your eyes, comes from tefillin. The word itself comes here, totafot, and this is really Rashi's second interpretation. We'll bring the first one later. He says totafot or tefillin. Everything that we know is tefillin. Menachem ben Sarok is one of the medieval grammarians. The dictionary Chibroim. He said that he put it in his dictionary under words like Vatuf El Daro, that direct your speech to the south, from Yechezkel. It says, Ben Adam, Sim Panecha Derech Teimana, God tells Yechezkel, face south, Vatef El Daro, and direct yourself to the south, Vinaveil Yara Sadeh Negev, and say this Nevuah down into the Negev. Similarly, Micha, it's Al Tatifu, don't turn, don't face. Not so much speaking, but of speaking toward. And so that's connected to Zikaron. Oh, lost Phyllis. Shara'a otam kshurim b'neinayim, that seeing them tied on one between the eyes, Yiskar Nes V'Dabeber will talk about the miracle that the Nes V'Tzia Mitzrayim, so that it's a way of directing our thoughts. That's what a Zikaron means. Right? That's Hatef. The tadafot are that which allows us to direct our words, our thoughts. This is a frontlet in the sense of a jewelry between and our forehead, but it's not the decorative meant to be zikaron. We keep the bar ela in our minds. But Ibn Ezra doesn't like that. He really doesn't like that interpretation, that tadafot comes from atafa the rom, directing one's thoughts. This is Ibn Ezra. This expression. Welcome
Oh,
back.
I was gone for a while.
You were. So
Okay,
he's
you
been.
were here.
I was here. Yeah, Totafot. Rashi says
Okay.
Totafot comes from word hataf, which means direct one's thoughts. It's a zikaron. But Ibn Ezra says that's wrong. He says it. That this word has no comparable word in all of the Torah, and those who deny will say that it comes from Vatef El Darom, which Rashi says is the origin. Face south. Know that because the shoresh is wrong, Zechasar Nun, but couple of tet, and it's not spelled right, it doesn't have the nun, it double the tet. I don't like the explanation that Totafot means directing one's thoughts. And he attributes that to machachishim, those who deny.
Wait, Danny, I mean, how does Rashi get, what does hataf mean?
So he quotes here that totafot is from the root of hataf of the Romans from Yechezkel, where he's told, Yechezkel is told in this pasuk, Sim panecha derech teimana, face south, vatef el darom, and direct your
Look.
speech to the south.
Oh, okay, so
Okay?
there's a word. Good.
There's a word, right. Ibn Ezra says that's what the machachishim say. The
Ooh.
heretics.
Ooh.
Okay? He's not claiming that Rashi is denying it, but he's talking about the Karaim explicitly. Okay, the Karaites deny Torah Shel Peh. This is Wikipedia, the obvious source of all truth, that says Karaite Jews not wear tefillin. According to
Oh.
the Karaites, the biblical passages cited for this practice are metaphorical, right? Tie it on your arm and tie it between your eyes means remember the Torah and treasure it, right? The station on thy heart, right? Bind them between the side and your eyes and your hand. Since the words cannot be literally on your heart or bound in the hand, entire passages stood metaphorically.
So interesting, because
Okay.
you think that this one, Dafka, you could be literal. Like it says, Uksharta Amalia Dafka,
Ah,
like.
that's where we're going to go, right? What's literal and what's metaphoric, right? But here specifically, Rashi says, because Rashi doesn't have a problem with the Karaites in whatever 12th century France. He had no problem saying Pshat of Totafot is memorial. That's where it comes from. And that's certainly metaphoric, right? And that makes it metaphor. That makes it metaphoric. The memorial on your between your eyes is metaphor. It means keep the words in mind. And the drush expresses a law, but we which make that memorial concrete. The drush is halacha is yes, you have to do something. Pshat is metaphoric. Keep it in mind. Clearly, that's the underlying purpose of it. And the drush is literal, which is the irony there, because we usually think of pshat as literal and drush as more metaphoric. Here it's reversed. Okay, Rashi's grandson says explicitly, "Oyadcha uzekrom beinecha means lefi omek pshuto." The understanding the true pshat is liyelecha zikaron tamid ki'ilu katuv al yadecha. That's pshat. You'd read it metaphorically. Like
How is
in.
that chat? Chat says tie it on your hand.
Yes, my point being is that Pshat can include metaphors. We've talked about that. And if you were reading this statement, you should keep it, you should be on your heart always, and you should tie it to your arm, and you should tie it between on your forehead, between your eyes.
That sounds really like specific though.
Okay, so basically, the Rashbam would say, yeah, Pshat is, samini right? That's clearly metaphoric in Shir HaShirim. That you would read Pshat as metaphoric, but the drush, in terms of the actual halacha, is literal. You should have these words tied on your arm and between your eyes.
So drash is Torah Shebaal
Right.
Okay.
But in this case, it says, the Torah Shel Peh says, don't read this as a metaphor. Might have wanted to. It's not definitely, you could read it metaphorically, but read it literally. So the Ibn Ezra says, no, do not read it metaphorically, because the Karaites are going to say, no, that's the only meaning is metaphoric, and you should never wear tefillah. And because the Ibn Ezra has a problem with Karaite. Right? His Torah commentary, Ibn Ezra quotes Karaite commentators extensively, even occasionally detailing his debates with them. Apparently, he was contesting not merely ancient Karaite views, they gained a foothold in the Middle Eastern communities, like the Sajid Gaon in 9th century, had to deal with the Karaites, but he was talking about active Karaite contemporaries in his native Spain. Right? Ibn Ezra dealt with Karaites. He said, no, you can't give him a foothold. Don't go this metaphoric direction at all. Rashi will say, no, you can read it's from Zikaron. It's there to be a Zikaron. That's definitely the point of it. But yes, the halacha is it should be literal, which is fine. But Rashi actually brings another interpretation first. Before he says it's from the Tafel, direct your thoughts to the Divrei Hashem. It says Totafot, Tefillin, Al Shem Shehem Arba Batim, Kurin Totafot. It's called Totafot. The word Totafot comes from four, because there are four chambers in there, as we said. And Tat Bekat Bishtayim, and the word Tat in the language of Katpi is means two. Pat Ba'afriki Yishtayim. And Pat is means two, so Totfot me or Fot, right? Yeah, Totfot means two and two in two languages. Article says it out, citing a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Akiva says that Totafot was chosen because it alludes to four, the number of the chambers. The word tot means two in Katpi, and pot means two in Afriki, two ancient languages. And I thought that was interesting, and I have no idea what that means, and that's just weird. That's
That's
just
weird.
really weird. That's really weird, especially as Rashi's first interpretation. Like, why do I care about Katvi and Afriki? And why is it 2 plus 2? Why does it just say 4?
Yeah, I'm like,
That's
why are
just
we
like,
using other languages that we don't normally?
right. That's just weird. And what is Afriki? I take a look at Afriki. It means like
Yeah, it
African,
looks like
right?
African.
But there is no African language. There's a lot of languages spoken in Africa. And actually, in the
Swahili.
time of Gemara, Africa referred to what we call Libya now. We'll explain those terms later. And more than that, this, saying that the word Todafot refer means four as a drush is kind of superfluous because, just looking at it, okay, so Todafot is plural, singular. Okay, so you're going to say that Todafot, the head tefillin, this Todafot means multiple parts, but then you end up, well, it's got to be four because that's the number of scrolls you have in that. It's the number of paragraphs that mention the tefillin. Right? If I want to know how many compartments to put in my tefillin, I know it's got to be four because there are four little scrolls in there. That's the Ramban. Lomar Totafot, Lomar Totefet, it's plural. But Vorshein Batim Rabim, because there are lots of chambers in the head part. That's traditional. That's Halach Moshe Mishnei. That's all be traditional. We all know there are multiple chambers. And that it's got to be four then. I don't need a drash for that. That's Tosfot points that I'm trying to understand what this tat bekatpi shtayim, that tat means two. Zahalo batim, and the fact
So
that we don't
according
have.
to him, the word tota, to whatever, is a chamber, a cubby.
Whatever, right. Totaf would mean
And
something. We don't know what it means.
the plural of it,
Right.
yeah.
Right. He's sort of retroactively going back. I don't have a source for that, but clearly they're called Totafot, and we've got a bunch, so that clearly that means the chamber's in there. And then, we don't have more than the four. It's mentioned 4 times, so obviously you need four. So what's with these languages? Nobody mentions why we care about these languages. I just found that was very weird. What language are we talking about? So until I found the Sansino Talmud, which tries to translate that. Remember the old, I mean, nobody uses Sansino anymore. Everyone's got the Art Scroll or the Koran. But okay, so first it just translates Katbi and Afriki. The footnotes say, you know what it could be? They mean Coptic and Phrygian. Katbi is Coptic.
Oh, I
Okay, that's, reversing the P and the T there, which happens in Hebrew a lot. And Phryg, it's the Afriki, there's just an olive in the front, which happens a lot of Hebrew words. Phrygi and Phrygian may definitely mean something. So these are things I know. Those are actual languages.
Wait, what are Coptic and Phrygian?
I know, but I'm going to tell you what
Phrygian?
Wikipedia says right here. Okay? Coptic, because it's the Coptic Church.
Like development frameworks. That's what they sound like. Like, oh, everyone's using Coptic now.
Somebody probably named them. You want to use your, yeah, right. Nobody uses Angular anymore. Everyone's using Coptic. So Coptic is the ancient language of Egyptian. So the modern Egyptian church, Christian church in Egypt, is called the Coptic Church. They're the
Oh.
ones being wiped out by the Muslim Brotherhood. But Coptic is the Egyptian, an ancient Egyptian language, and including its latest stages, closely related to late Egyptian, written in hieroglyphics. So if you read hieroglyphics, that is reading Coptic. That is ancient Egyptian. And Phrygian, which those who have some knowledge knows that have heard the term a Phrygian cap, was what Lady Liberty wore in the French Revolution. But Phrygian referred to the language of the Phrygians in Asia Minor, in modern Turkey, during classical antiquity from the 8th century. It could be linguists who close rate to Greek or Armenian. It's ancient, basically the ancient before there was a Greece. We have
It
two
had to go
actual,
back to the
but
time of the Torah. It had to
right.
go back.
Right, that's what we're saying. That these are the ancient languages from the sense of
Oh,
Cham and sense of Yafet, non-Semitic languages of the time. So your ancient language, you have Kapiti and Afriki there. The question then was, why would Torah use them? So they probably represent languages that, so these are obviously the English pronunciations So how the Hebrew pronunciation. Doesn't tell us why I care, why the Torah uses it. So
Still
this is
weird.
the footnote in the Torah Chaim, the Moshe Rav Kook Tana, Mikra Gedolo. I have no idea who wrote them. So they try to justify. They mention this. So they say, "Ain't a pshat that Torah tedaber b'lashon katipiv b'lashon afriki chas v'shalom." Right, chas v'shalom that we should, the Torah should be used in some other language, non-Semitic language. Ela tot u'lashon hakodesh. We're going to assume that actually these are Hebrew words. But it's old. They're old enough. The tot and fot were old enough Hebrew terms. We don't know what they mean. Raminan. That we see these other languages that use these terms for two in Afriki and Kapiti. Amrinan, we would say the God blush and Kodesh, okay, that the really Hebrew must be cognate with them, use the same terms. No, Hayarak blush and Kodesh. God, the first language, God created the word with Hebrew, blush and Kodesh. So all languages go back to Hebrew. Hashem confused the languages, Dora Flagah, entire and Tower of Babel, Balashanakodesh, Gam Bishar Lashonot. Still, that they still have some hints there. People talk about trying to find Hebrew as the etymology, as the original etymology for all words everywhere. So he's going to say that obviously, Tot and Phut, if they're in ancient Coptic and ancient Phrygian, must have been ancient Hebrew also.
Oh.
Okay, so obviously it must come there. So really, I'm using other languages to understand Hebrew. I think it's weak. I don't like it. Because they will, because I mean, you will see in Chazal, we'll see the Mefarshim bring other languages to explain rare words. But usually there are either words in Arabic or in Aramaic, which clearly are related. There's one time Rashi brings in German to explain sneer as snow, but I don't think he was coming from that. But he, and here the Gemara is explaining that it's a mixture of two different languages. It's still a weird thing to put together. So I don't have a great answer why Rabbi Akiva should say, you know, the word Totafot comes from ancient Coptic and ancient Phrygian. It really does. But if you Google ancient Egyptian and Phrygian, Coptic and Phrygian, you find an interesting story. Here's a story from Herodotus. Now, before I can't pronounce his name, Psammetichus became king of Egypt, and this would be 7th century BCE. The Egyptians believed that they were the oldest people on earth. Psammetichus, when he was in no way able to learn by inquiry which people had come first into being, devised a plan by which he took two newborn children of the common people and gave them to a shepherd to bring them amongst his flocks. He could do an experiment in development. He gave instructions that no one was to speak a word in their hearing. They were to stay by themselves in a lonely hut. And in due time, the shepherd would bring goats and give the children their milk and do everything necessary. Because he wanted to hear what speech would come first from the children when they were past this age of indistinct babbling. Because all babies babble, right, Noah? You demonstrate babbling? By the time you're 9 months old, you babble in your native language. Well, you've been hearing all this time. So he's going to do the experiment.
What
He's going to
language?
raise
It's
these.
Coptic, I think.
He's going to raise these kids without any language at all. And you see, what do they come up with? And that obviously must be the original language. That was his experiment. And he had his wish, because he's a pharaoh, so he can do these things, right? But one day, when the shepherd had done as he was told for 2 years, both children ran to him, stretching out their arms and called Bekos as he opened the door and entered. When he first heard this, he kept quiet about it. When coming often and paying careful attention, he kept hearing the same word. He told his master at last and brought the children to king's presence required. So Psammetichus heard them himself and asked what language the word Bekos belonged. He found it to be a Phrygian word, signifying bread. Reasoning from this, the Egyptians acknowledged that the Phrygians were older than they.
Wow,
That's a
interesting
fa
experiment.
fascinating story. Obviously, not proof of anything at all. And no, you don't get an IRB, the Institution Review Board, to allow you to do this experiment with actual children nowadays. This historian Herodotus, okay? So I would assume that every educated person in attending times had read Herodotus.
Really?
I mean, everybody read Herodotus. I mean, right? I mean, that was just like reading Harry Potter. That was part of your culture in Hellenic times, okay? And I'm sure I'd be keeping Herodotus. And Herodotus says that Coptic and Phrygian were the most ancient languages, the question between, ancient Egyptian and ancient Phrygian. And I quote here Saul Lieberman, who points out that, showing various aspects of Greco-Roman culture were pervasive not only among the more Hellenized Jews, but even the rabbis of Palestine were familiar with the fashionable style of the civilized world at the time. Many of them were highly educated with literature. They spoke to the people of their language and knew their style. Okay? And I still want to get this book by Lieberman. You know who Saul Lieberman was?
Yeah, he was at the JTS, no?
One of the Gedolim of JTS. He was actually recruited by Rav Huttner to be a fan of Berlin. And supposedly the Lubavitch Rebbe told one of his Talmidim that he could stay at JT, he'd learn at JTS as long as Lieberman was there. Lieberman wanted a mechitza. He was vehemently opposed to driving on Shabbos. He's one of the people when JTS was a force in Jewish thinking. Him and David Weiss of Livni were that there. But he definitely was a Talmud Chacham. But one of the things he studied was this was Hellenist, so that they definitely knew Herodotus and all the classical Greek things. You can see quotes in there throughout the Gemara and the Mishnah.
From Herodotus, they would know Phrygian, but Herodotus didn't mention Coptic.
Well, ancient Egyptian. Coptic is ancient Egyptian.
Oh, he says that?
He
Where?
doesn't say that, but that is the term. I mean, it's still used today for native. I was saying that the modern Egyptian church is a Coptic church. Okay. So I'm assuming that that is the name for the ancient Egyptian language. Okay. So my hypothesis is that Rabbi Akiva is looking not at his own version of the Karaites. Now, not literally Karaites. There are no Tzedukim at that point, not the Torah B'shal Peh, after the Korban. Destruction of Beit HaMikdash, that really they were in one power, but there were lots of Hellenized Jews. Okay, people were very into Greco-Roman culture, so that when he's saying that, it's not meant of tat b'katpi shtayim tat b'afriki shtayim. It's not meant to be halachic drash. Rashi doesn't call it that. It's kind of apologetics. The way of arguing the Torah is as ancient as any of the Herodotian history. You can connect the language of the Torah to these ancient languages there. It's not aimed at those who would say, okay, Halakha to Moshe Mi-Sinai says we put our four chambers in and our tefillin there. Because that doesn't care about the etymology. I think it's a way of attracting attention of those who abandon the Halakha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Say, look, we're still connected to these other tales, this other culture there. That's a hypothesis. I don't know if it's right or not. I think
Wait,
it's a
there
way
were
to see.
no Karaim or some kind of Kutim or some kind of people who took the Torah literally?
So generally, we don't see them in this period. So the time of Rabbi Akiva was after the Churban. The Tzedukim really lost a lot of their, I mean, they were very big in the Beit HaMikdash, but that as a religious force, they really lost that. After the Churban, because if all you have is literal Torah for your without the Torah Shebaal Peh, then you don't have Korbanot. You really have nothing religious left. Anshei Beit HaKnesset Gedola basically invented what we call Judaism after the Churban of the first Bayit. That's
And
Rabbinic
that's
Judaism.
when the and when did the Karaim or whatever their
So the
precursor was?
Karaites are much later. They came in 1,000 years later. The Tzedukim were in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so I'm saying that really isn't who Rabbi Akiva wasn't arguing against them. He was arguing against the fully Hellenized Jews who just wanted to be normal Roman citizens.
Who weren't putting on tefillin.
They're not going to put out tefillin. He wants to argue, okay, here, this has the language here at least connects to the things that you know. There's something there. We can talk.
So from the beginning, there weren't sects who didn't accept Torah Shabbat Moshe's stuff and just the written.
So certainly we first see that the Tzedukim and Baitutim, that would have been early Tannaitic period. So say from
Oh,
200 BCE,
that's late.
which is relatively late. So I don't know whether there's what, so what ha the sects that existed in the time of Beit Rishon really weren't what you'd call Tzedukim or, Karaitic kind of things. They were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They would have, that's when you find all these idols of, you find idols of God throughout
But
Israel. So it's a
like for
different kind
example,
of different sect.
how we tie the tefillin is Moshe Mitzrayim, right?
Right. So we
So
have
there
no
weren't any
idea.
groups that said, forget that. Who said that's how you do it?
We have no
Let's look
evidence for
just at
that. Let's put
the
it that way.
group.
I don't know, but we have no record of any of that. Okay. Right. It's possible. I mean, Jews are have always argued in that. We have lots of record of arguing, so one would imagine somebody argued about it. But again, there's no record of that.
Okay,
We
so
definitely
go
have.
over once more what Rabbi Akiva is saying
Okay,
in
so
your.
Rabbi Akiva's one is saying that Totafot, the word Totafot, comes from these two other languages, Tota and Pot, in Afriki and Katipi. That's what he says. Question is, why does he say that? That's my hypothesis. Is that it's meant so not really to be. It's not really a drush, because it's not a drush. It's all Chumash Misiana. Everyone agrees that we don't derive the form of tefillin from the Torah. That's just traditional. My argument, it's there as a way of talking to the more Hellenized Jews.
So we don't derive the four boxes from the words of the Torah.
That's correct.
No?
I mean, there is, right. So the question is whether we do. I think basically the answer is no, that it is simply halacha b'mishnah. All of that government looks like. And certainly Ramban would argue we sort of, it's logically there because it's Totafot is plural and it's got to be four. Just because there are four paragraphs that you can write down in it.
So then, according to him, we do derive it from the written words, not just from.
Yeah, so I say the chambers are in fact from the word totafot being plural. That's what you figure out. That you can derive.
It's all weird.
It's still weird. So this isn't great. Again, this is a hypothesis. I don't have a better answer. If you want, I can come up with one. Great. Obviously the Moshe Rav Kook had an explanation for Rabbi Akiva, who said it actually means that. It means two and two in some ancient Hebrew, which only shows up nowadays in Rabbi Akiva's time as remnants in other languages. But again, I didn't like that.
Wait, it has to be that they showed up. It was Hebrew.
Right. But there's no
Oh, it
record
was
of it in Hebrew
Hebrew.
anymore.
Oh, it was Hebrew.
Right, that's what he's saying, that all languages came from Hebrew
Hebrew.
original. So if
And
anything in any language must originally have come from Hebrew somehow.
okay, but then you have the problem of both of those words meant two in
Yeah.
Hebrew.
Right.
That's a
Again, right.
problem.
It's weird. And then why would, if the Torah meant to say four, why would it use two different words for two?
Even if it was ancient Hebrew.
Right. So
Right.
Right. So I gave a different answer, explanation for Rabbi Kiv, why Rabbi Kiv would even say this. That it was a
Okay.
reflection of
Well, it's very
that
interesting.
thought about Herodotus. That's my thought. Is there a moral value there? I don't know. Aside from you can always use pull in pop culture. You can always pull pop culture into your shiurim. In Rabbi
So
Kiva's
to
case, it was
quote Tot Tafot. It does sound like multiple.
Yeah, no, I think I agree that one is definitely called in the Gemara Totefet, talking
Oh.
about as an article of jewelry. The argument that that
Oh.
comes from tefillin,
Oh.
it's called a frontlet is called Totefet because the tefillin are called Totefot, which we know are worn around the head.
Do you know there's an active Karaite community here in Israel, in
I know there's actually
Hod?
has been a, that was actually a pretty large community in Egypt.
But the Lod are,
Yeah.
I think the Rabbanut said they were Jewish, or someone said
I
they're
think
Jewish.
they. I think right. It's interesting because I thought they did count as were halakhically Jewish. I'm not sure. I looked at this once because they've got a couple of websites. It's an actual community.
Yeah.
They're very machmir on shechita. It's weird because they have their own traditions. It's because you can't
Yeah.
just take the word of the Torah literally and end up with nothing. So I forget where I was looking up Karaites. Let's go see. I had it.
Yeah. I wonder, some tiyul we took, we went there. We had a whole talk by one of them. They have a community center. Remember
No, that's
the
it. Yeah, that's I've talked about that in talking about Shechita.
Yeah. All right. This was interesting. Totafot. I'll find it. Don't worry. It's not gone. Okay, guys.
Okay,
Have a
well, I
good
am going
day.
to
Thank
stop
you.
here. Thank you.